Okay, so here we're in a sense back to the basics, back to the most basic, because you may recall that on the first day, we tried to figure out why does the Masechta start with the theme that it starts with. And really, we meant that in the broader sense of Bedikas Chametz, why Bedikas Chametz has the Kedimus as the opening theme of Maseches Pesachim, and we explored that a little bit. Here, we get an even more basic beginning. The first word of the Masechta, right, or, is going to play a big role in understanding today's sugya. So the Gemara really has been focused on this from the very beginning. We had to branch out from the Rishonim, from the Mishnah, to talk about what Bedikas Chametz is about. But as far as the Gemara has been interested in, the Gemara has spent really all of the time from Daf Beis through Daf Dalet in dealing with that word and its implications. So the idea that Bedikas Chametz is not only an obligation, but it's an obligation at a specific time, that Or La'arbasar, so the Gemara spent a lot of time figuring out what the meaning of the word Or is, why is that word chosen, and the like, and all of that is still in the spotlight, no pun intended, as the Gemara now gets to the practicalities of that issue, that we have an obligation not only to do Bedikas Chametz, but to do Bedikas Chametz specifically at nighttime, at the nighttime of the 14th. So the Gemara here, a very brief passage that we have to look at, so we'll look at it together. So the Gemara asks the question of why this is specifically. Now, you'll recall that immediately before this Gemara, it was the discussion of Zrizin Makdim and Lemitzvos, and we spent a lot of time talking about that topic, because it's a general Shas Sugya, but it doesn't explain why we have Bedikas Chametz when it does. Because even when you have a notion of Zrizin Makdim and Lemitzvos, it doesn't mean that all mitzvos are just assigned to the earliest possible time. The time period has to already have some connection to the mitzvah. And then we can talk about doing the mitzvah within the parameters, the earliest possible time within those parameters. But there isn't anything that makes it clear that Bedikas Chametz should specifically be assigned to the nighttime of the 14th of Nisan, even once we know that Zrizin Makdim and Lemitzvos. It doesn't necessarily tell us anything about it landing at that time specifically. And perhaps one would have thought, if you didn't have this Mishnah, if you didn't have this halach at all, so, or you didn't have any context for when Bedikas Chametz should be, but you knew that there should be Bedikas Chametz, so when would you have said on your own that Bedikas Chametz should be? If you had to make up a time, and no one ever told you, and you didn't grow up doing Bedikas Chametz your whole life, so you had to pick a time for Bedikas Chametz, what would have struck you as the most appropriate time? Do you think about that, Ari? Okay, so that certainly makes a lot of sense. Can you explain why you'd say that?
Sure. So the Torah says that you need to destroy the chametz on the, or Yom Rishon, and that can't mean on the days of Pesach itself, so it must be the 14th. And if we're deciding, discerning between what day, what time in the 14th, of the night of the day, well, I would say if your objective is to destroy as much chametz as possible, you know, choose the amount of chametz which is going to have the most light available. That would presumably be during the daytime. And I wouldn't, you know, view, if anything, any useful need for a candle, per se.
See, that's interesting. That's not where I thought you were going with that. That's interesting. Okay, so you're getting into the details of the lighting, which, of course, is relevant here. But I was just thinking, and that's where I thought you were going at first, that if we should assume that this is connected to Tashbisu, so then presumably it makes sense that it should circle around Tashbisu. So if Tashbisu is sometime around midday on Erev Pesach, we could talk about exactly when it is Min HaTorah, Mid Rabbanan, exactly what it asks of us. But perhaps I would have associated this mitzvah with that time more closely and would have said it's a daytime mitzvah. And what you're bringing up is interesting also, that maybe the lighting factors in. We know it does factor in other ways. But that would have led you to make it during the daytime, that's an interesting point. But even without that, then we could say that if Tashbisu is during the daytime, so then presumably Bedikas Chametz should either circle around that. Which would probably leave us with two possibilities. Either I would have established it during the daytime on Erev Pesach to be closely associated with the Tashbisu, or if you're not going to do it then, so then, okay, so then maybe you should do it much earlier. If reason is a factor, so then maybe we should say, okay, so let's get your house clean much earlier, and then we have to figure out how much earlier. It doesn't make sense to say that Hanukkah time, you start cleaning your house out of Pesach, but it's not clear why we would necessarily pin it at the night. So the Gemara addresses that. So Gemara starts off, so Amar Rav Nachman, right after this reason sugya, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, what's special about this time? B'sha shebnei adam mitzuyim bevateihem, v'or haner yafel lebedika. So it sounds like he's saying two things here, and this is something we're going to have to try to figure out, that this is a time when people are home. Right, this is the end of the workday, so the assumption is people come home for dinner, and people come home right after work. So this is the time when you catch people available at the beginning of the night. And or haner yafel lebedika. And if you want to really see things clearly, so candlelight is helpful, and that's the time for it. And then the Gemara continues, Amar Abaye, Hilkach, therefore, that word probably is going to be significant. Hayt Surbim Rabbanan, you have a Talmud Chacham wants to learn. Lo liftach be'idnei ba'orsa detreisar denogi arbasar. So somebody who has a zman for learning, we'll translate it like that for now, be'idnei meaning the time, he has a Seder. So he should not start the Seder, again, it's a simple translation, at the nighttime of the 13th that's going into the 14th. Delma Mashchel Shmaisa, maybe you're going to get so involved in the sugi, as we know we tend to do. V'asilim nuye mi mitzvah. And that will take you away from the mitzvah. Okay, so that's the whole section of the Gemara that's relevant to us right now. So, what exactly is behind this timing prioritization? So, the first thing we need to try to figure out is a topic that pretty much all of the classical Achronim took up here. And I didn't ask you yet to look at any of them. I want to try to work them out together first, and you can definitely look at them tomorrow, and certainly encourage to look at them aside afterwards. But if you look at the classical Achronim on the Daf, so all of them are trying to figure out a question, which they have different approaches to. And let's try to see how we would approach it on our own before this. And what is that question, you think, regarding Reb Nachman's statement of people are at home and nighttime and candlelight is good for seeing things? So what question would the Achronim all take up about this? And it's a little bit in the Me'iri also, as the Me'iri tends to be a visionary, tends to see things the way the Achronim do, so both a Rishon and Achron in a sense. So, what question might you ask about this? Well, one question you might ask is, why do I need two reasons? Is there one reason or is there two reasons? And assuming there's two reasons, why do I need both? So as we'll lay out in the next few minutes, the Achronim on the Daf all talk about this, and they take different approaches. But let's try to understand where those approaches would fit in. So what's your instinct about these reasons? Yes, Velvo?
I mean, in the Gemara, if you have like a case of when it says it's Srichi, it's because you might think that if there was a context of a case, so it wouldn't apply in that case. So therefore, you do the other one.
say to this one, fine, and so to the other one. So maybe this is the same here too.
Okay, so that's certainly true. Right, that is definitely how many of the Achronim approach it. That you may have circumstances where one reason applies and the other one doesn't. So in order to cover all our bases, so then we need two reasons. That's definitely the nature of a lot of the answers. So it could be we're just closing up loopholes here. We're just closing up gaps that one reason might not cover the whole story, so I need both reasons. Indeed, that's the kind of answer that you find in a number of the Achronim. But that also then indicates to us that there is a bottom line here, that we want Bedikas Chametz ideally done at that time. And one or the other is driving it more. Or maybe they're driving it together. So are these two reasons, let me ask you this question, are these two reasons of the same type? Or are they coming from different directions? And maybe you could ask the question a little more sharply. Are these reasons Bedikas Chametz kind of reasons? Or are they general mitzvos kinds of reasons? It's the kind of thing you might see by any mitzvah? Or do they have specific relevance to Bedikas Chametz? And that's going to, as we'll see, reflect a basic issue in the whole sugya. So let's take it one at a time. So the idea that the Or HaNer Yafa, is that the kind of svara that may show up in any mitzvah, or is that really a Bedikas Chametz kind of question? Yeah, Menachem?
Seems like that's focused on the Bedika itself.
Yeah, I would think so, right? I think this is a detail in how to do the Bedika better. That once Chazal were ordaining Bedikas Chametz, so, and assuming here that Bedikas Chametz is at least on some level the Rabbana, right? Even according to the Rishonim that we saw, that under some circumstances there could be Bedika Daraisa, or Bedika could have been Daraisa without Bittul, at least on some level, Bedika is coming from a Takanas Chazal. So, why would Chazal pick this time? So if we're focusing on the idea of Or HaNer, it sounds like they're highlighting, again, no pun intended, that this is the most effective way to do it. We want you to search well, and not just in a perfunctory way. And this is a topic we're going to also have to consider in more detail also, because I think Bizman Hazat, and we'll see how this plays out, La Halacha, it's very practical for us, that especially Bizman Hazeh, when Bedikas Chametz has taken on a big chinuch component and the little kids get involved, which is good. But it's hard to actually do the thorough Bedika during that time. So that's a tension that we're going to see play out in certain halachic sources and practicalities. But it would seem like this is about doing the mitzvah in the most effective way. That Chazal picked a time when you would get the most thorough search, and because the highlighting that comes from the candle at night is going to give you the best picture, they said, that's when we want you to do it. Now, what about the other idea, that people are home then? What has that got to do with anything? Is that to make it more convenient? Presumably not. Right, presumably, that's coming from a different concern. That we are worried that we don't want people to forget and to neglect the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. So to pick a time when this can be the priority, that is also a concern. And that's maybe a more general mitzvah kind of consideration. And we'll see here also that the Gemara is segueing immediately into don't do this before you do the mitzvah, in the case the Gemara is talking about learning. So that's a concern that we have by mitzvos in general, that when a mitzvah has a set time, so we often have a prohibition of engaging in other activities before the mitzvah is fulfilled because of a concern of losing the mitzvah. So it seems like this is to make sure that the mitzvah would get done. So in terms of setting it at that time, so for example, if we were to say, do Bedikas Chametz around midday on Erev Pesach when the Isser Chametz kicks in, so then people aren't necessarily home. And there's a good chance that you're going to neglect it. So by saying, okay, here's when it happens right after you end your workday, before dinner, before your Seder, before everything else, so that helps to make sure that you're not going to lose it, and explains the segue, the immediate going from there into, so therefore don't start learning at that time, because our whole focus here is to make sure that the mitzvah doesn't get neglected. Danielle?
You could also argue the opposite, that this, even, you know, that idea of everybody being home is to make sure that you do the mitzvah in the most thorough way, in the sense that everybody is there to help and to be involved.
Okay, so that's interesting also, assuming that that's what it means. Now, that brings up an interesting question that I mentioned a few minutes ago, that the chinuch component of having all the kids involved is a good thing from a chinuch perspective. It's interesting whether that's really a part of the mitzvah as far as the mitzvah's own goals. So is there an ideal that every member of the household, davka, is involved in Bedikas Chametz? Now, from a chinuch perspective, and from other aspects, I think it's an ideal, but just as far as the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz is concerned, is there a value to that specifically? Now, it's also interesting in general, because to say there's a chinuch value, it's true, but also we'll try to touch upon a little bit, you know, the whole question of shlichus when it comes to Bedikas Chametz. So to what extent, we know the Gemara is going to make it clear that you can have Bedikas Chametz fulfilled through a shliach, right, which indicates that it is a result-oriented mitzvah. You could appoint somebody else to do this for you. But once we're saying that, so is that b'dieved? You know, we have a general idea of mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha, the l'cherchila, you should do a mitzvah yourself. So do we mean that it's possible with a shliach, but not so ideal? Or maybe we should say that it's all about the result. If I hire a very good inspection service to search my house, so then I know it'll be thoroughly done, and no reason to do it on my own. So is there specifically a focus not just on finding the chametz, but also that the pursuit of the chametz is somehow valuable for the Baal HaBos to do, is an interesting question also. Valvo?
Right, the psukim
in terms of Tashbisu. So Tashbisu itself, as we indicated a little bit, we haven't seen yet, but we're going to see it more on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, seems to be a big machlokes. We mentioned a little bit the Menaches Chinuch raises that question about Tashbisu, whether that's a simple passive state of not having chametz, or whether there is some value to actually being involved in destroying chametz. So that we're going to see more indications of on Amud Beis. But the component of Bedika that we're assuming here is a Darabana in addition to it, so is that just to make sure that there isn't anything there that you're missing? Like we saw, so you shouldn't violate Bayra Bayimotze, or you shouldn't come to eat it, Rashi and Tosa, that whole story? Or is there more to it? Is there even actually a value in being engaged in the process that you would say, mitzvah bayosur mibeshlucho, that better you should do it yourself rather than have somebody else do it for you, even if they're going to do a good job? So that's an interesting discussion. And we'll mention, getting a little ahead of ourselves, we'll mention that actually it has a components here also, besides the question mitzvah b'yosim b'shlucho. So what is the ideal time? Let's say, what's the ideal scenario? We see the ideal time here is the beginning of the night. What if the balabas can't get home that quickly? He's traveling, he's at work, he can't get home until midnight. So should he wait till midnight and do it himself? Or should we say that the zman is the priority, and therefore better to get it done then, whether that means getting a shliach, or what about his wife? How does that factor in? Is it her obligation equally so? Which is something the Gemara touches upon a little bit also, and may also have a different background to it, b'zman hazeh, as the Sfarim discuss. We'll get to that also. But what is the highest priority? Is this something you should be doing yourself, and even if that means doing it a little bit later? Or is this zman the higher focus? So all of that will play out. But it seems like these are, on the surface, two different considerations that probably come from two different places. That the candlelight is a bedikas chametz idea. This is how you do bedikas chametz in the best possible way. And the idea that people are home is probably part of a broader concern of make sure that mitzvahs don't get neglected. Now, before we start to explore what the Achronim say, so I should mention that there are those who do actually combine the two and do see them as one idea. Primarily, if you look at the Tzlach, the Node of Yehuda, in his commentary to the Gemara, the Tzlach, so he understands that really it's one reason. That it's all about the light. That sounds like a nice slogan. It's all about the candlelight. It's all about the or. But where are you going to get the or from? Right. So the Gemara is saying that if we make this at the beginning of the night, so that's when people are home and they're using their light. Right. They have the candles on for dinner and for all the other activities. Right. So you think about just the structure of a day in the pre-electricity era. So you're going to want to get home when it's dark because it's not safe to be outside. So you plan your day, your outside activities are during the daytime, and then you come home as soon as it starts to get dark. This is something, by the way, gets a little synergy. The next Yontif on our horizon, now that we have the long stretch, but Hanukkah, so we know Hanukkah builds very much on this reality, right? The Iker time for Halakas Neris Hanukkah has a strong parallel to this man for Bedikas Chametz, that really, alpi the Iker Takanev Chazal, the time for lighting Hanukkah candles is a very narrow time, right? As it starts to get dark, that's when people start to leave the streets, and there's a lot of parallels. Interesting, I guess we'll get a chance to look at a lot of overlap between the considerations in when the mitzvah of Hanukkah Neiros ideally takes place and when the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. They both involve some similar considerations. And so here, if you don't have electricity outside, so you do your outside work while it's daytime, and then you come home as soon as it's dark, and then when do you use your candles at home? So you're not going to leave the candles on all night because eventually you want to go to sleep, and candles are expensive, and you don't turn them on for nothing. So when do you have your candles lit? You have your candles lit at the beginning of the night. So that's when you need light because it's not daytime anymore. And it's not when you're asleep. So that's when you're going to have candles lit. So if we need candles in order to get Bedikas Chametz done in the best way, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about one thing. It's all about candlelight, but this is the time when candles will be effective. And also, people are home in order to use them. Daniel, you had a question? Yeah, okay. So that's how the Tzlach understands it. Other Achronim have a slightly different spin. Others assume that indeed we are talking about two reasons. The question is, how do they combine with each other? So for example, if you look at the Chassam Sofer and his Chidushim here, so the Chassam Sofer understands that the main thing here is the Ner. Right? That the Ner is really why we make this at nighttime. because that's when you're going to have the best visibility with a candle at night. During the daytime, the candle doesn't do anything. Candles, as Chazal expressed in a few places, that the candle is not going to contribute so much during the daytime, so we want the candle to be functioning at night. But if that's the case, so then you might think, all right, but I have all night then. So if that's the only issue, so then fine, sometime during the night, I'll do Bedikas Chametz. So why should I do it earlier? Well, we just came off Zrizin, so okay. So Zrizin is a good reason to do things early on within a slot. But we also saw when we talked about Zrizin, it's not the only priority. Sometimes there are other cheshbonos. So, okay, if I could do it early, I'll do it early. But if I have other things to do, I have a Seder. I want to learn a little bit, so I'll do it later. So, no. So then the Gemara comes in and says, no, there's another consideration here also, that we want to be at the time when people are available. So it's not just about Zrizin. So you shouldn't think that nighttime fine, but any time during the nighttime is also fine. No, nighttime specifically at the beginning of the nighttime. And once again, there's the flow, and therefore don't even start your Seder then. Don't think that, okay, I can have my Seder and I'll still have time the rest of the night. No, it's specifically that concern. That's how the Chasam Sofer understands it. Danielle? So we'll see that actually is a discussion. So, la halacha, there is a machlokas about that, as we'll see. Maybe it's a little bit mitzias related, and a little bit a question of how exactly relate to things. But there certainly are, just to give a little bit of a preview of it, so we'll see that there is a machlokas as to what the zman really is. Is it kind of the beginning of the night while it's still daylight? Or, as others, for example, Rav Kook, and we've mentioned the Sefer that collects Rav Kook's Chiddushim, we'll talk about that a few times here, the Tov Roi. Rav Kook asserts that you shouldn't get misled by... Sorry, there's that phone thing again.
This is a message from the office of Dr. Gail Schwinn.
All right.
We are calling to remind you about the following appointments for Bradshaw at 9:30 a.m. with Gail Schwinn at Klopter, Tennessee Pediatrics. Currently at 9:30 a.m. with Gail Schwinn at Klopter, Tennessee Pediatrics, which are scheduled for Wednesday, October 14th. We look forward to seeing you then. Please contact us if you are unable to come or have any additional questions. Thank you, and have a nice day.
You too. Have a nice day. Okay, so, no way to stop that from happening sometimes. So, the question of whether it should be the beginning of the night or whether it should be pitch black, ideally. So, Rav Kook, for example, takes on others who disagreed and said, don't be distracted by the language of the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah, which says, or, and gives you the impression that maybe we want there to be some daylight. You know, is that what it means? And indeed, we'll see that there are Rishonim, Rav Kook discusses, there are Rishonim who do indicate that way. But others disagree and say that Dafka, like Daniel, is saying that no, that once we're talking about night, we want as dark as possible because we want the contrast between the candlelight and the darkness. And therefore, you're getting distracted if you look at the word or here and think it means a little bit of daytime. That's what the Gemara is indeed spending a lot of time figuring out what the connotation of or is. But once we translate or as Lila, it doesn't mean light night. It means dark night. And indeed, you're correct. So there is a machlokas lahalacha about that, which does revolve exactly around that consideration that you're mentioning. Okay, so with the Chasam Sofer saying that the Iker is the candle and the modifying detail is the beginning of the night, so the Sfas Emes says essentially the opposite. And the Sfas Emes says that really, it's the Ger Revi in his commentary on the Daf, the Sfas Emes writes that really the concern is that we shouldn't forget. This is really a more generalized concern that Chazal were coming from, that if we're going to make, to go back to Ari's original point, if we're going to make the surrounding Tashbisu, so it's going to be the middle of the day, it's not a great time to try to make a household a home-based mitzvah. Who's home then? That's not going to necessarily catch people at home. So then you might say, okay, so fine, so we're going to make a time that's more secure. So let's make it first thing. We're all home. Yes, good point. You look like you're not home now, actually, so you've finally de-quarantined. But okay, the point is, it's a lot of ironies in the Zoom era, right? So who would be home in the middle of the day? Okay, everyone. But if it was not a pandemic going on, halavai, you know, so Lashana Haba should not be like this past, this coming Pesach, God willing, should not be like last Pesach. So we should not be, as Hashem, this should be long behind us. We should not be bound to our houses on Erev Pesach. So you're not going to have that ideal circumstance. So fine, so when should we make it? Let's make it first thing in the morning. So maybe that would make sense before people leave. So that's where we have this other factor that, you know, because the bedikah will be better done at night, so that rounds out the picture. So it should be a time when people are home, and it should be a time when it's dark, because the candle will supplement things. Okay. So to further take this point to its next level, the Pnei Yehoshua, again, you see all the classic commentaries on the Daf taking up this question. So the Pnei Yehoshua understands it to connect to that next line of why you shouldn't even start this year, because all of that is coming to emphasize that we want to have it at the best possible time, when it's the nighttime. And if it was just about not forgetting, so then you might say, okay, so what's the big deal? So let me have my Seder, and let me have my Shir, and as big as Masmidim as we are, but eventually the Seder is going to end, eventually the Shir is going to end. And worst comes to worst, so we'll do the Bedikah during the daytime. I mean, even if we have an all-night Mishmar, but eventually we take a pause, so there'll be a morning to do it. So that's where, to round out the picture as you understood it, the idea of nighttime having its own value, and it's not only about not forgetting. So that's why Chazal, then the Gemara continues to say, don't even start this year, and don't think it's okay, because if I have all-night Mishmar and I do it in the morning, it's still good. No, it's not still good, because we want this element of having it during the nighttime. Now, one of the interpretations that has the most practical relevance, and we'll have to come back probably at the beginning of tomorrow to talk about some of the nafkaminas of this, but the Marza Shekel, in his commentary to the Magen Avraham, Marza Shekel is what we call a super commentary, not just because it's good, but it's a commentary on a commentary to the Magen Avraham. So the Marza Shekel writes that the two reasons they have a major nafgamina, what if you are searching for chametz on the 13th? So, let's say for whatever reason, you're traveling or other reasons we'll discuss, you're doing bedikah on the 13th of Nisan. So, should you davka do it at nighttime, or should you do it during the daytime? Because if the concern is just we don't want you to forget, okay, here you're not forgetting, you're doing it early. So then one might assume you could do it during the daytime on the 13th. But because the bedikah specifically should be done at night, so then we're going to say that at least l'charchila, even a bedikah on the 13th of Nisan should take place at the nighttime. Now, clearly, also, we should emphasize that we know that since you could do bedikah during the day, that we certainly say la halacha, that if one doesn't do bedikah, for example, on the 14th, So then he should do Bedikah in the morning. And as the Gemara is going to discuss, even on Pesach and even after Pesach, there's still a mitzvah of Bedikah. So these are all different levels of L'chachiva. So there is a concept of Bedikah that's not going to be L'or Haner, but L'chachiva, what's the proper approach? So then it would come out that on the 14th it should be at night, and then even on the 13th it should also be at night. Now, if you had a chance to see the Mordechai, put the Mordechai on the list. It was towards the end, I think. But the Mordechai provides another reason that there is a concern based on Yerushalmi that even if one has totally cleaned his house perfectly in advance of Pesach, and this is a very practical point because this very much addresses our realities today, nowadays very often the case. Let's say, because cleaning the house for Pesach is a much more involved process, so it's greatly conceivable that before the night of the 14th, you will have totally cleaned out the house of all chametz, and you've checked everything, you've looked everywhere, so you know that it's all clean, it's all perfect. So then, can I do a bedika before the night of the 14th? If let's say I will be home through Pesach, I don't have an inability to do it on the 14th. So can I do it earlier? So the Mordechai quotes the Ravan, based on the Yerushalmi, that no, that even if you know everything is totally fine and you're totally carb-free before the 14th of Nisan, still, Bedikas Chametz should still take place on the 14th of Nisan as a matter of general policy. Yes, Valvo.
Could that potentially indicate that there is something to say about the process as just opposed to the result?
It's a little bit from the other direction, because if there is something about the process, then that would lead you to the same conclusion. But here, basing it on this idea of, or this language, of that we shouldn't distinguish from Bedikah or Bedikah, sounds like it's coming from a different place. Sounds like it's coming just from a concern that maybe, okay, this year I got everything done on the 13th or the 12th or whatever, so I didn't do any Bedikah on the 14th. And then next year I'm going to forget. And I mean, remember, well, last year we didn't do anything. Last year we just sat back and relaxed on the night of Pesach. This year, by the way, to keep everything unusual, and I guess it's good for a Pesachim year, is the Erev Pesach Shechal Yosh B'Shabbos. So a lot of interesting, unusual shailas to keep our involvement in Pesachim at the highest level. So the unusual Pesach shailas are going to come up this year. But so that's already a fascinating phenomenon, which totally deviates from our normal model of what Erev Pesach looks like. But that's a couple months down the line. But in general, to say, okay, this year I'm not going to do Bedikas Chametz on the 14th of Nisan, and what implications does it have? So it sounds like that's what we're concerned when we say Shlo Tachlok Ben Bedika LeBedika. But the idea that the process is something, I think that also would lead you to the same conclusion, right? That if there is a mitzvah that Chazal wanted us to do specifically and not just create a result of a carb-free house, so then that also would lead you to the same conclusion. So the matter of practicality, we'll say more about the details of this, but this is very much relevant to our contemporary situation because this is often exactly what's happening, right? And this is also what allows us to balance the two considerations, because if you have the kids around and you're trying to make it an educational experience, and you put out the chametz crumbs beforehand, which we saw is something which has a source in halacha. That's not just for the game purposes. That's something which may even be a requirement, as many understand nowadays. But lemaisa, it creates a whole atmosphere, a little bit of a game. You put out the crumbs, and the kids are looking for the crumbs, and the ones who hit it, the ones who didn't hit it. So it does create a little bit of attention, because on the one hand, if you have a mitzvah to really actively, thoroughly make sure that your house doesn't have chametz, And at the same time, you're kind of engaged in a educational display for the kids. They're not totally compatible, or they're not totally functioning the same way. Except that the answer is that really we have a combination of factors, that the thorough searching of the house for chametz, we can supplement with the fact that we did go through a very thorough cleaning of the house in the days up until Pesach, and that has some role here. But nonetheless, it doesn't absolve us of the obligation of a bedikas chametz on the 14th. So that allows for both to be true, that we have to very genuinely look to make sure there's no chametz, but that still what's taking place on the night of the 14th can be somewhat of a formality and somewhat more of an educational experience at the same time. There is more room for that. Menachem, is that an artificial hand? That looks like a different kind. Usually it's... Oh, no, that's not me. I'm sorry. It wasn't your hand. Okay. It was the cursor that was... It looked like your hand. Okay, never mind. Sorry. That's why I thought it looked different. It wasn't blue. Okay, in any event, so we're about to run out of time, so we'll have to continue this a little bit tomorrow, but we should finish it tomorrow. Actually, one of the major points we didn't get to, so we definitely will start with this tomorrow. But I'll tell you two things. One mucker that I didn't put on because it was a little hard to find, but I'll tell you now orally, you can start with this tomorrow, is the Ravid's opinion here is important. And the Ravid's in a few places. It's not in the Hasagas on the Rambam, but it's in his other writings. So it's in his Truvis and the Tmim Daim, but what's easiest to find, but still a little bit hard to find, is it's in his Hasagas on the Baal Hamor. So on the Dape Harif, on the first page, Aleph Amud Aleph, on the Dape Harif, so there is a Hasaga the Ravid has on the Baal Hamor. If you look in the middle of that Hasaga, so he has a comment here that's important. And try to see that tomorrow. And also, just for the sake of some synergy and some Musar, so I'll just mention... to highlight a part of the Meiri, which maybe you saw. If you saw the Meiri, again, thanks to Zach for sending out that very useful way to access it. So the Meiri quotes a fascinating interpretation, which I just want to get in here for the first day of the new Zman, the new part of the Zman, that the Meiri quotes the idea that what the Gemara says, the liftach, that you shouldn't begin learning. So we understand that to mean you shouldn't start even learning. And that has some practical chidushim to it, which we'll see tomorrow. But what the Meiri quotes is he says, there are some who interpret it that it's talking specifically about starting a new Masechta. That you shouldn't start a new Masechta at the time of Bedikas Chametz, because that's complicated. He quotes Kol Haschalos Kashos. But we could also understand it to mean it's exciting. You're starting a new Masechta, it's exciting. So that's going to draw you in. So if you have a new Seder, a new Masechta starting, so that you shouldn't do before Bedikas Chametz. That's really where there's a risk that that's going to take you away. But if it's a regular Seder, a regular just extension of what you've been learning for months, so then that's okay. So the Meiri does not like the Apshad. He says that's not Apshad. It means anything. It means whatever you're learning. But it highlights, first of all, the excitement of a new Zman, which is something we can tap into now. But that ultimately, we're really looking to have that excitement all the time. And that practically speaking, as much as it's natural to have a certain focus and enthusiasm on the first day, but we know that we say that by Talmud Torah, we say, B'chol yom yu be'enecha kechadoshim, smeichem k'yom nesinasim b'sinai, that we want to try to experience Torah every day like it's a new experience, every day like it was given at Har Sinai. So ultimately, that's the pshat the Meiri likes, that whatever Seder you're going to have is likely to draw you in and distract you from chametz. But the pshat that he doesn't agree with, but it's still an interesting idea, that psychologically there's a certain both complexity and excitement that comes with the first month, the first day of the Zman, the first opening of a new Masechta, but practically speaking, that's the way we relate to everything. So now it's kind of a new Zman beginning of the same Zman, but we come with a certain excitement, but we... we'll hold on to that excitement and realize that every day it all draws us in And that's also one of the takeaways of the sugya, is the engrossing power of Talmud Torah to close out the whole rest of the world. We get so drawn in that even a mitzvah like B'dikas Chametz is at risk. And the aspects of that, the elements of that, the practicalities, we'll talk about tomorrow. So just to quickly recap what we spoke about. So we saw that there is a preference specifically, or really a requirement specifically, to do B'dikas Chametz on the night of the 14th, and that that's not explained by either the requirements of Tashvisu, which would have taken us to the daytime, or Zeriz and Makdiman, which would have said maybe first thing in the morning or maybe much earlier, but that didn't explain why it should be the night of the 14th. So the Gemara gives what looks like two reasons. Either because that's when people are home, or because candlelight at nighttime is specifically powerful to be able to see what you're doing. And we highlighted the fact that they seem to come from two different places, that the candle is a B'dikas Chametz Halacha. It's the way Chazal is saying, here's when the mitzvah will be done the best, and that's how we want you to do it. And the people being home sounds like it's a you shouldn't lose the mitzvah halacha, which could apply to anything, that the same way, and indeed as the Gemara continues, that we often find you shouldn't do other activities before a mitzvah. It's the same kind of idea, wouldn't be unique to B'dikas Chametz. But ultimately, the question is, why do we have both reasons, and how do they interplay with each other? What's really the ikker here? That's something we want to think about. Which reason is really the main reason? And we saw that all the classical achronim on the daf take up the question, and they give different answers. That there's the slach who says, really, it's all one reason. It's just about the candle, but the candle is in use when people are at home. So that's all the Gemara was getting at. And other achronim, the Chasam Sofer, and the Sfas Emes, and the Pnei Yeshua, who saw it from different mixes of the same idea, that we need to cover all our bases, but either you hold that it's the nighttime that's the main focus, but you shouldn't think it could be any time of the night equally. It's got to also be balanced by this factor. Or the other way around, but either way, they close up the loopholes. And the Machzeh Shekel making the point that Nafkamina for a Bedika on Yud Gimel, that should also be the nighttime, if you once you have both reasons. And we mentioned there's the Mordechai who addresses that also from an additional angle, that we don't distinguish between different bedikas and therefore different years. So the bedika should always be on the 14th, even if the circumstances are that everything's clear beforehand. We discussed how that's very practical for our day. And then this is now going to get us into the question. We'll have to see more, and we'll see a little bit that it comes out from the Rishonim. So take everything we discussed today and think about how this plays out in some of the Rishonim. As you begin tomorrow, I'll call your attention specifically to that Ravid on the Adap Erif, and also look carefully, you have to look very carefully to figure this out, but look carefully at the language of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and see how there might be different understandings in what exactly is driving us. And you'll be just as excited tomorrow as you were today, because that's the Meiri's pshat, that the Liftach doesn't only mean starting on the first day, but it means all the continuation of learning has the equal excitement. So I wish you all a exciting, wonderful day. Danielle, you have a question?
Yeah, but I don't want to keep anybody.
Okay, so we'll let everyone go, and then I'll turn off the recording, and we'll see you then. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. Should be only good things. And I look forward to seeing you with excitement tomorrow.